We are looking today at the power of the church. What power do we have? I'd like to open up by describing to you what earthly power is. As you all know, I work for MedEd, and I didn't always, but last night I handled 7,000 volts right here in my hand. On a piece of wire, and I know from talking to other people who have made mistakes, you can get your arms burned off, literally. Voltage, we use it every day, it's out there, it's power. I have looked into the maw of a nuclear reactor after they take the lid off and they've run it through one of its cycles, and you look down in there and it's glowing. A neon blue. And you look down and you say, that is power. That is power. But I'm here to tell you that that is nothing compared to the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing. When you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, the change is enormous. Earth-shattering, earth-shaking. And yet it can be so minute as to touch a heart. Okay? To touch a heart. Would you please turn with me to Acts? And we all know this scripture, but I want to read it again because this is extraordinary. Acts chapter 1. Starting in verse 8. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 8. And thus saith the Lord, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. Compared to Jerusalem, Lebanon County is at the very ends of the earth. His word has been fulfilled. We are His witnesses. And how do we witness? By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Him working in your lives. This whole service has brought you to this point. We're praying for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. We're praying that the Lord would open up doors and open up hearts that we might touch them. We hugged each other just a little while ago. That is an extraordinary thing. There's people out there that need just a hug because they are so beat up and knocked down by this world and by the dark powers that are out there just chewing people up and spitting them out. And we have that power. That is the power of the church. I want to look at four things as we go through this sermon. And they are evangelize, reproduce, change, and turn the world upside down. I want you to kind of keep those four, well, three words and one phrase in your mind as we go through this. Turn with me to just a little further over, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And this is Pentecost. This is where it all started. Know what I mean? This is where it started. Because before that time, the Holy Spirit would touch certain individual men and women, touch certain prophets, and they would write. But He hadn't come upon mankind. So this is a new thing. This is something different. Let us read. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. such as we are here. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you can do miraculous things. Have you ever listened to the Holy Spirit? Some of us have. Some of us are still searching. But let me relate a story to you. And I think I only told Pastor Rich and maybe my wife. I had gone to a funeral of a friend of mine at work. His son had passed away because he made a poor decision and tried to play chicken with a train. And sadly, he lost. And there was a lot of people there at the funeral. And what happened was, while me and my wife were going through the line, and as we got closer to the casket, this overwhelming feeling came upon me to touch that poor young man's hand and to pray in the Spirit, "Rise in the name of Jesus Christ." Can you imagine what would have happened at that funeral if that little boy, well, it wasn't a little boy, young man, I should say, would have rose out of that casket? I was shaking. But my point is, the Spirit spoke. And even though it would have been an extraordinary thing, and I would have gave God the glory, I went up and I touched his cold, dead hand. And I said, "Rise in the name of Jesus Christ." Now, obviously, it didn't happen, or you would have all heard about that. Right? But my point is, I was open to that possibility. It didn't happen. And the only thing I can think about is why the Lord didn't do that, why the Holy Spirit didn't do that, was he didn't want to raise that young man. He wanted to see if I was listening. There is going to be points and times in your life where the Holy Spirit's going to say, "Go talk to that person. Go touch that person. They need a hug. They need a kind word." Are you listening? Are you listening? Because the Holy Spirit is not going to boom at you. No big booming. And the funny thing is, his voice sounds like my voice. Have you ever noticed that? When you listen to the Holy Spirit, it sounds like your voice. And there's a reason for that. The most comforting and trustworthy voice that you have is yours. So when that voice that sounds like yours is talking to you and saying, "Go touch that person, go talk to that person, go evangelize," okay? All you need to do is listen to what that voice is saying, and if it's following the word, if it's telling you to do what Jesus told us to do, you can trust it. If that little voice in the back of your head says, "Go down to the bar and get drunk," you're listening to the wrong voice. That's not the voice of the Holy Spirit. But when that voice says, "Love that person, speak to that person, just go over and touch that person," you need to move. And the more you listen and move, the more the Holy Spirit will talk to you. So maybe God was opening up new doors for me when he told me to go touch that young man's cold, dead hand. And I listened. It didn't happen. I was shaking. I thought, if this happens, there's going to be pandemonium in this place. And I didn't care because I kept saying in the Spirit, I want to give you the glory. I want to give you the glory. I want to give you the glory. Have your way with me. Have your way with me. That's what the Holy Spirit is looking for, to have His way with you in your lives, in every situation, in every place. Our first word that we're going to look at is evangelize. And we're going to go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 5, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. And in there we read, and this is Paul talking to Timothy. And in a way, Paul is talking to us also. Because we have a call in our lives. And he says, but you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Now, Paul was talking to a young minister, but I'm talking to each one of you as a student minister. You have a ministry. You have a ministry in your families. You have a ministry in your workplace. You have a ministry in Walmart. You have a ministry. And the Holy Spirit is saying here, but keep your head in all situations. In any given situation, okay, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's going to take you out of your comfort zone. I'm telling you, it's going to take you out of your comfort zone. And that is a good thing. Because when you get out of your comfort zone, you start to grow spiritually. You start to step out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that? In His power, you're stepping out and the Holy Spirit inside you says, okay, I'm going to move. And I'm going to change situations. I'm going to put you right there for that moment. For that moment where you could be the only gospel that person will ever see. Can you imagine that? And just a touch of your hand, a word from your mouth, in the power of the Holy Spirit could change their life. Because as we saw in the video, there's people out there who are lost and dying. I think of that woman who's carrying that heavy trunk. And by the way, that looks like a trunk that you would take to summer camp. So I know how much stuff you can put in that. Chocolate bars, underwear, pants, swim trunks. But there's people out there with a whole trunk full of lead bricks. And they're dragging that brick of broken dreams and that brick of broken hearts and that brick of somebody hurt me. And they're dragging it and they can't let go. We all know people in our lives that are carrying a trunk like that, do we not? Are you carrying a trunk like that? Anybody, are you carrying a trunk like that? Are you stuck down in that pit where that guy was down in that mud-filled and rock-filled pit? You know people like that. You know people like that. To be an evangelist is go out and tell them the good news that, hey, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can let go of that trunk of broken dreams and hurt and pain. You can let go of it. The Holy Spirit will help you let go of it. He'll pry your hand off that handle and give you freedom. The Holy Spirit will help throw that rope down into that pit and help pull you or someone else out of that pit of sin. Oh my gosh, we have the power. You know, it doesn't matter how much money a church has. Doesn't matter what they do with that money. Doesn't matter what programs they have. They could have vacation Bible school. They could have Sunday school. They could have discipleship hour. They could have programs of outreach. They could be feeding people from their kitchen. But I'm here to tell you, if the Holy Spirit isn't energizing that work, if the Holy Spirit isn't working in the hearts of that congregation, it's just a social club. They might as well start serving beer, whiskey. Let's throw a little marijuana in the corner there. It doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit isn't there working. I don't care if you have a mega church, 10,000 people, and outreach across this whole world. If the Holy Spirit is not powering that outreach, not powering that church, it means nothing. Zip. Part of the power of a church is to evangelize. A congregation wants to see people, lost people, coming to Jesus Christ, souls being saved, spirits being regenerated. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior spiritually, you are dead. And I want to tell you what, that whole world out there is dead and dying. We have true life here. Amen?
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is dwelling inside you. Amen?
Amen?
Then listen to Him. When He says evangelize, step out. Get out of your comfort zone. It's an extraordinary thing to get out of your comfort zone. I probably told you this story, but I'll tell it again. I was on a storm trip down in Virginia, and we stopped at this little log cabin restaurant, it was called, on a back road. Nice little place. Parked all the trucks, all the guys get out of the truck, and I started walking towards the restaurant first, and standing on the steps on a large porch out in front of the place was this woman. And she looked distressed. She looked madder than a honeybee hive full of bees that just got turned over by a big black bear. Can you imagine how mad those bees are? She's standing there fuming. Now the guys are all behind me. And I'm walking up, I'm looking at her, and the Spirit spoke in me, talk to her. I had no idea who she was. I'm in West Virginia. I never saw this lady before in my life. Got a whole bunch of guys behind me I'm supposed to take care of, and here I am, out of my comfort zone. So I stopped and talked to her. Here it turned out she was the cook. The waitresses were giving her a hard time, and she was very distressed. So I asked her a question. I said, "Are you a Christian? Can I pray for you?" And she said, "Yes, I am a Christian." I said, "Good." I said, "That's the first step. Let's pray." I said, "May I touch you?" She said, "Yes." And I held her hand and put my hand on her shoulder. And I started praying for her. And all the guys are walking past me going, "What in the hell is Webster doing?" Excuse my French. After we got in there and sat down, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm working in the Spirit." "No, you're working for MedEd." I said, "No. MedEd is a side job. It just gives me a little money so I can keep the roof over my family's head. But I'm working in the Spirit." And the more you do that, the more you step out, the more the Holy Spirit's going to use you. Just got to practice a little bit. You know what I mean? Extraordinary thing. And you know, when you're evangelizing and people get saved, you know what you're doing? Now think about it. You're snatching those people from the very gates of hell. From the very gates of hell. Because you are one heartbeat away from death. I mean, we think we're so strong and powerful, and we can go out and work, and everything's going to be fine, and we generally have our health. But you are one, just like everybody out there, one heartbeat. Now, we're one heartbeat away from heaven. But there's people you know in your lives that are one heartbeat away from hell. And just one word from you in the power of the Holy Spirit, the possibility is they could be saved. And you're snatching them out of the gates of hell. And that's eternal. And I can't even describe to you how much pain and anguish it'll be there. But the scripture says there will be wailing and gnashing of your teeth. Have you ever been in such pain, gnash your teeth? Just grind your teeth back and forth a little bit. And it's, oh, can you imagine hitting your thumb with a hammer? Whack! That's nothing compared to what's going to go on there. Evangelize. Our next scripture portion I want to look at is in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And we're going to be looking at verses 25 and 26. Luke chapter 9. And this is Christ talking. And this is after Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus says, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. This speaks volumes to me. These two little verses speak volumes. We must not be ashamed of the gospel. There is a whole environment out there that is anti-Christian. And that's a good thing, because in that anti-Christian environment, the Holy Spirit can shine through you brightly, brightly. Jesus says, don't be ashamed of me. You ever been into that situation? And I have. I'm going to confess where, you know, the Holy Spirit said, go talk to that person. And I went, I don't want to offend them. I don't want them to, oh boy, they're going to be upset when I tell them they're lost or they're a sinner or they're going to hell. They're not going to like that. I don't want them to get mad at me. That was wrong of me to feel that way. In that very instance, I was ashamed of my Lord. I didn't want to share him with that other person because, well, they might get upset. They might stamp their feet. They might point their finger at me and call, oh, I don't like you. What does it matter? What does it matter? Can you imagine in heaven when you've talked to a person like that, they're mad at you. I don't like you, Bob. You shouldn't tell me something like that. I'm going to pick on you a little bit, Bob. Okay? But then that seed is planted and the Holy Spirit works on that person and they have a change of heart. Change of heart. And they get saved and Bob never sees them again. But in glory, in heaven, that person comes up to Bob and says, thank you. Forgive me for being mad at you. You told me what I needed to hear and I got saved. And now I'm in heaven instead of hell. Would it be worth it to have somebody be mad at you because you tried to talk to them? I think it would be worth it. What does it matter what people think of us on this planet? I don't care what they think of me. Half the guys at work, well, all the guys at work know I'm studying to be a minister. Half of them think I'm crazy. Yeah, and the rest of them know it. Thank you, Pastor. And I am crazy. I'm crazy for Jesus Christ. I'm crazy to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Oh, do you know how I preach to you every Sunday? By His power. I pray it every time I go to preach, I say, Holy Spirit, I can't preach, but You can. You can. I can't. I try to empty myself of everything that's in me. Self, pride. Empty myself till I'm completely empty, and then He can fill me with His power to preach. And He'll do it for you. He'll fill you with His power in that moment when you need that power to talk to that person. He'll fill you with the power that you need to love somebody that, whew, you really don't like. But we're called to love even those who are not lovely. And I don't mean that in a physical sense. That's what we're called for. What do you gain if you had $100 billion and you got to spend it any way you want, and you never listened to the Holy Spirit? You never stepped out. Jesus says, what do you gain if all the gold in the world is yours and then you lost your soul and you ended up in hell? You're not taking any of that gold with you there. My wife is going to yell at me for this, but I would give away everything I have so that people would get saved. What does it matter? It's all rust and dust. In the end, it's going to disappear, and we're going to be in glory. And the people you talk to, the people that you evangelized, the people that you made a difference in their lives, okay, they're going to be in there in heaven with you. That's the only thing you get to take to heaven with you. That's it. You're going to go naked. God's going to give you a robe. You're not going to have a suit, a tie. Not going to have any nice shoes. So ladies, if you're buying a lot of shoes in Paris, you're not taking them with you. There'll be no rifles there. There's not going to be any of this stuff. So why do we cling to it? There's an open question. Why do we cling to it? The second word we want to look at is reproduce. When the Holy Spirit is working in a congregation, and the congregation's evangelizing, you're getting out there, and I'm not telling you to go out there and be like Billy Graham and talk to 10,000 people at once, unless God calls you to do it, and then you're supposed to listen to them. But if you're just talking to a few people, some people in your family, some people that you work with, some people you might run into at Walmart, Kmart, anywhere, when the Spirit moves you and they listen and they get born again, that is reproducing sons and daughters into the family of God. You are all sons and daughters of God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has regenerated your spirit, has put in you a new spirit, a spirit from God. And your children. Do you ever want to become a child again? Do you remember how it was when you were little? Your mom and dad took care of you. They made sure that you got fed, that you had clothes. You know what I mean? You didn't have too many worries. You got to play a lot. I got to build tree houses. I got to run around with my friends. Well, you can't really go back to that time in your earthly life. But in your adult life, there can be moments when you can sit with the Holy Spirit and be a child again. And feel the Holy Spirit taking care of you. And that's what He wants to do. He wants so much to take care of you. He wants to help heal your hearts. He wants to give you that power to evangelize. He wants to give you that power that you can go out and talk to other people, and the reproduction, the adding to the congregation. Even if they don't join this congregation, if you talk to somebody and they get saved and they go to another congregation where the word is preached, They're part of the family. They're brothers and sisters. Amen? Amen. Oh, my. And you were going to get to see each other in heaven. Can you imagine that? I'm at a loss for words sometimes. But when you sit down and think about it, there's going to be people all from the history of the world with different languages. And we're going to be able to understand them. They're going to come and say, you remember, I want to tell you when the Holy Spirit came on me and I got saved. And you're going to relate back to, oh, I remember that day. Then you'll be able to talk back and forth. And you'll be able to talk to Paul. And Paul says, yep, I went out to the Gentiles. And you'll be standing there going, I went out to the people in Walmart. But it's the same thing. You're evangelizing. Paul's going to go, what's Walmart? Oh, you don't want to know. You don't want to know, Paul. Me and my wife have a funny saying that when we go to the Walmart, we're going to the land of the unwashed. Oh, can you imagine that? Talking to people in Walmart and the Holy Spirit hits and the whole produce section gets saved. Wouldn't that be something? Glory to God. I want no accolades. I want none of them. I want everything to go to the glory of God. Everything I do. When I preach, it's for His glory. When I teach, it's for His glory. When I talk to people, it's for His glory. Because if I even take just the minutest little speck of that, it's gone. I want to store up treasure in heaven. And that's why we need to be working here. To reproduce sons and daughters into the congregation, into a church. I have to keep an eye on my time here. Because I'm getting a little carried away. Change. That was our third word, change. Do you know the Holy Spirit, when He comes onto an individual, He changes their life? Sometimes it's dramatic and, man, I was a drunkard. I was a pot smoker. I was a womanizer. And that'll all change. Sometimes it takes a little time. Some people, like me, are a little stiff-necked. And the Holy Spirit has to keep working, and working. But there's change. The Holy Spirit brings about change. Change in lives. Oh, a changed life is a wonderful thing. Amen? Amen. How has your life been changed by the Holy Spirit? Think about it. How has your life been changed? Brother Wendell. Yeah, less selfish. Pastor Rich, how has he changed in your life?
Desire to actually love people.
To love people. I know people don't love people out there because if you're driving, oh man, you better keep an eye open. Because then people, they want to get to where they're going just as fast as they can, and they have no love for you because you're on their highway and in their way. I experienced that yesterday morning. Went down to help Russell do a little electrical work, kind of point him in the right direction. It's about, I would say, 6:40 in the morning. I'm going on 772, headed towards 441 in York, and this person, I have no idea, and a little buzz bomb comes off the off-ramp of 283, and obviously someone stole the stop sign because they kept coming. And praise God, the Holy Spirit had my eyeballs open that early in the morning because I was on my motorcycle. And even a little buzz bomb, I'm not going to fare well. I'll put a dent in there, but there's going to be a dent in my noggin until they're done with me. People don't care. They have no love for other people. They drive that way. They drive that way. They walk that way. They talk that way. That lady at the restaurant, at the log cabin restaurant. I'm telling you, most people, and even the guys I'm with, they'd walk right past her. They went, oh man, she has a problem. Oh boy. Don't talk to her. She may blow up. There's no love out there for someone. That's why we need to show the love of the Holy Spirit through our lives into other people's lives. And try and show. And it might take more than one time. I bet you I don't have enough fingers and toes for some people to count how many times you're going to have to show them love. But isn't it worth it? After 100,000 times of loving them, they finally get it. And they turn towards Jesus Christ as Savior. Would it be worth it? I think it would. Even if it took your whole lifetime of talking to that one individual and they got saved, would it be worth it? Amen, it would. Because you've plucked them out of the very gates of hell. I have a rather long, what isn't rather long, it's not too long, I can read it. But in Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 12, and we're going to read through 32. But go to Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 12. This is talking about change. And I want to use the scriptures. I mean, I could tell stories about myself and stuff, but I want to keep myself grounded in these scriptures because this is the word. This is the truth. All right? Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Now, these are the same apostles that were up in that room before the Holy Spirit came on them. They were a little afraid, and Jesus said, don't go out yet. Wait for that power. And once that power hit, I want you to see how these people changed. The change. In Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 12, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Excuse me. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. And then the high priest and all his associates who were members of the party of the Sadducees, excuse me, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in a public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. Go and stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts and as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of elders of Israel, and they sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked with all the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside." And on hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what could come of this. And then someone came in and said, "Look! The men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you have killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God, whom God has given to those who obey him. There is so much in there. Now, I read quite a bit to you. The Holy Spirit not only changes people, changes places, confronts the authorities, both civil and religious. We should do the same. I'm not saying disobey the government, but when they tell you, you can't preach in his name, you can't talk in his name, what are you going to say? Yeah, I like what Pastor said. You want to bet? The power of the Holy Spirit will get you in and out of prison. The power of the Holy Spirit is going to confront those civil and religious authorities that don't like Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about the Christian religion. I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't have a religion here. We have a relationship. I was sitting with a gentleman at a bar, having a cold beer with him. He's hanging his head, his woes. He said, you know, I got to get my life straightened out. I got to get back into religion. I said, wait a minute, brother. You don't need religion. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. And he just looked at me. Well, isn't that the same thing? No. There's plenty of religions out there. Go find one. Okay? Lots of religion. They'll tell you exactly what to do, can't do, when to pray, when to sit up, when to sit down, when to feast, when to fast, when to go to church, when not to go to church. We don't have that. We have a relationship with Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because he comes in and he indwells you, he fills you with his power, he gives you the might, the energy. My physical body is falling apart, I'm telling you. I'm tireder now than I was 20 years ago. Who here's tired? You get tired physically? Amen. Well, I tell you what, I can tell you, I am proof standing right here. Yesterday they called me out to work at 2:00 and I didn't answer the phone twice. On the third time he called, my foreman said, I cannot get anybody to come to work. We have wire down. We have problems all over the place. Can you please come in? I said, well, I can't work that long because I'm preaching tomorrow. He said, I know that. He said, but could you please come in and help me? Right? I said, all right, okay, I can't get nobody because he's going to have to go out of town. He was going to have to call York and have employees come up to do this job. They couldn't get nobody. I said, all right, I'll come out. I got home at 4:00 this morning. I was going to leave at 8:00 yesterday evening and still come home and have time to go through my sermon and get rest, you know, because I like to get a good night's sleep before I preach. Didn't happen. I want to tell you what, I am more energized right now. The Holy Spirit is working through me. He's empowering me. I got a couple hours sleep. I laid down my head and the alarm went off. I just shut my eyes. Now I got to get back up again. And I didn't even do anything. I came right home. My wife was still up watching TV. And I said, look, I got to get to bed. I went to bed. I fall asleep in 32 seconds. Bang. I didn't even print the sermon out. I'm going, Lord, I hope the printer works in the morning or I'm going to be dragging my laptop here. I am full of fire. I am energized. I'm not even tired. Now, when I get out of here, I'm going to probably fall over in the parking lot. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit will take some of that energy back. He'll go, okay, you don't need it anymore. You're done preaching. Brrr. Oh, man. Boom, down you go. I'm 56 years old. And I'm told that that ain't old. But, oh, man, when you're dragging that sore leg and you're tired, I don't feel any of that. Praise God. He's filled me with his Holy Spirit. So that I can come and preach to you. And I pray that the Holy Spirit is talking to your hearts. And he's probably telling you stuff that I'm not even saying because he's speaking to you. Oh, that's change. I love that change. Boy, I want more change. Holy Spirit, give me some more change. And I'm not talking nickels and dimes and quarters. I want change. I want to be renewed. I want to be on fire for that Holy Spirit. I want Him to pour His fire out on me, and I want to go talk to people. My poor wife knows it. We get into places somewhere, and I'll just go wander off, and I'll find somebody to talk to. She'll be pushing the grocery cart around, and there he is, talking to a man or a woman. That's what I want to do. I don't want to be a lineman anymore. It's a dead-end job. All they give you is money. Don't want it anymore. I mean, I still need the money. She's going to kill me. I keep talking like that. I've got to pay the bills, Dave. We're going to lose the house if you don't. You know, I've got to pay the electric bill. I've got to buy groceries. But that's not my biggest concern anymore. I want to get out of there and into here, into your lives, into the lives of people out there in Lebanon County. I need the touch of the Holy Spirit, because He's in me, and I want to touch Him. Not for my glory, but the Holy Spirit would just fly right out of the hand. I want to just touch Him. Oh, yeah. Oh, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I almost think, you know what? It would be great. I had talked to that when we were back in SJK about having a tent revival. I got saved in a tent revival, a holy roller tent revival. And those people like to roll. They get down on the grass and roll right in front of the altar. It's cool. If you ever get a chance to go to a holy roller tent revival, go. Then people are happy to see the Spirit. They want the Spirit in there. The Spirit gets in there and He just rolls them all over the place. Works on them. I was raised as a Catholic. You never saw that in Catholic. Well, some old people would fall over in the pews every once in a while, but they weren't rolling. Okay? I like that. I've been over in the Philippines, okay, with the Assemblies of God. Then people know how to worship God. They're up front. I mean, they're on their knees. They're praying for the anointing of tongues. And some of the people I were with, the guys, they're standing in the back going, wow, look at them. These Filipinos, they're having a great time. Man, I charged right up front. I had my Bible. I'm right up front there, and I'm putting my hand on that person. He's praying for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying, oh, Father in heaven, oh, fill him with the Holy Spirit. I'm shaking. He's falling. It is cool, because you can feel the Spirit moving. It's in the whole congregation. Then poor guys standing in the back, they're going, oh, I don't know about this. What's Dave doing? He's nuts. Yeah, I am. I'm nuts for the Holy Spirit. Man, I want to be on fire. I want you on fire. I want all of you to be jumping up and just worshiping God, filled with that power. Can you imagine that? When you're 90 years old, going out there, you're so filled with the Holy Spirit now, you've been listening all these years. These young ladies here. You start listening to the Holy Spirit now. I'm not trying to make you. I'm going to point you out. I'm allowed to do that. I'm the preacher. You start listening to the Holy Spirit now. By the time you're my age, you could be laying hands on people and they get healed. Can you imagine that? That would be cool. I want to see stuff like that. I want to be a part of stuff like that. I want to be in a church that's filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. Ooh, I love it. It fills you up. It makes you feel alive. You know what I mean? Some days, you know, and I have the problems too. You go through your life, you know, it's like, oh, I got to get up and go to work again. Oh, some maniac just drove their pickup truck through a pole, and now we got to go out and fix it. We got to dig a hole. Like, this is really tiring. Right? Been there. Doing that. Right now, I feel alive. I feel like I'm 17 years old. I can run around this auditorium chasing you all. Oh, but the power of the Holy Spirit be upon us. Oh, my. I got to keep moving here to get done, because I'm really running out of time. Although the pastor didn't point to his watch yet, so I must be okay. Oh, you don't have a watch. Good for you. We don't need a watch. I'm going to go to the, I think I missed a word. What did I have? Last one I preached on. Okay. Turn the world upside down. Do you want to turn the world upside down? I don't like the way this world's operating right now. You know that? All they care about is greed, more greed, sex, violence, and greed. Did I say greed? Yeah, I said greed twice. Everybody's out for themselves. It's horrible. You know, some people you run into and you try and talk to them, it's all about how their day was. Oh, my leg is bad. My kids are driving me insane. My job's killing me. I want joy. I want Holy Spirit joy. I want Holy Spirit power. And I want to give that to them. And that's what we do as a congregation. That's the power of the church, is to give the power of the Holy Spirit to other people that don't have it. We got it. Don't keep it in here. This is where the Holy Spirit comes, fills the whole place up. Right? That's what I'm praying for you right now. I want to see little tongues of flame appear in each one of your heads. Wouldn't that be cool? Miss Marion, to look over it at Whitey and all that white hair he has, and there's a little flame above it. Wouldn't that be cool? Huh? Would anybody's jaws drop? My jaw wouldn't drop. I'd be going, praise the Lord. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's even flaming on their heads. Oh my gosh, this congregation's going to turn the world upside down. That's what the apostles did. That's what Paul did. Paul went out there, and what'd they do to him? They beat him. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned. He was put in prison. He was ridiculed. Did he stop? He didn't go, oh, I don't like doing this anymore. I think I'm going to quit. He kept going and changed the world. Well, he didn't do it. The Holy Spirit did it. But he was the vessel. You get to be the vessel. The power will work right through you. Pastor, you know what I'm talking about. Miss Sally, you know what I'm talking about. Bob, you know what I'm talking about. Man, when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you and he starts working and things start happening around you and people start getting saved. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about. In my Pennsylvania Dutch, I'd be good. That is a good thing. That's what we want. Turn the world upside down. I still have a little more to preach on, but I am running out of time. And I don't want to hold you too long, but you get my point, right? Who here gets my point? Raise your hand. Everybody got it? Come on, get those hands in the air. How about both of them? Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is working. They get it. I am just a dumb preacher. But he is stronger than in me than he that is in the world. He gives me the strength. He gives me the enthusiasm. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Amen? Amen. All right. I would like to ask this, Miss Sally. If anybody here would like to come forth and have the elders lay hands on you, that you would be filled even more with the Holy Spirit, come front. Come on up here. Rededicate your lives to the Lord Jesus. It's His kingdom. He sent the Holy Spirit that we might have power. Who wants that power? Do you want that power?
Absolutely.
Come on forward. Elders, come up. Who's going to rededicate their lives to Jesus Christ in this church? I know I'm getting in line. I'm rededicating my life. Brother, pray for me. Pray that there be more indwelling upon us. We're a congregation, a family. And we love each other. And the Holy Spirit loves us. Oh, Father, I ask so much. I ask with everything in my being, with the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would lay your Holy Spirit out on this congregation, that you would fill these people so full of your power, that they would forget about themselves and become the church triumphant. People, you are the church. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, You can turn the world upside down. You can change lives. You can do it. And God wants to pour that Holy Spirit into you so that you can do it. Don't go out there and work under your own power. You're going to fail. But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, He's going to teach you what you need to know. He's going to give you a witness that'll bring glory to God. Oh, Father in heaven, I thank you so much that you have brought this congregation together and you call us the Heart of Christ Church. May we truly, truly be the Heart of Christ. And that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father, pour your Spirit out upon these people. Make this congregation so powerful that Lebanon County goes, what? And we go out and by the power of that Holy Spirit, turn the world upside down. But it starts in your heart. Let the Holy Spirit turn your heart upside down. And then let the Holy Spirit turn your family members' hearts upside down. And then your friends. It starts with you being open to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be in a congregation as wonderful as this. To have these people that just pour out their love because you've poured love into their hearts. And as we get ready, my friends, please receive the benediction. May the power of the Holy Spirit fill you. Fill your mouth, your feet, your heart, your mind, your hands. Fill you so completely that you are empowered to go out and turn the world upside down. To the glory of Jesus Christ, to the glory of the Holy Spirit, and to the glory of our Father in heaven. So I say go. Go and be world changers. Be filled with the Holy Spirit this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.